Blog Talk Radio. Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangade. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Wonderful to have you with us today. Hello, Naima. Naima Latif is here, you guys.
Yes.
I'm executive producer of The Female Solution and one of my best friends. You know what? I've never seen her face, but I just think she's precious. That smile. Oh, I wish you could see the smile. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Beautiful.
I'm not trying to put you on Facebook now. Look at you on Facebook. I'm not trying to.
Well, for those who want to see me, you can, and of course, the beautiful Dr. Debbie, you can go to Soulful Solutions on Facebook and have a visual connection with us.
Yes, please do. You know, I'm going to do something a little different today, really, for the month of September. I'm going to start giving you Dr. Debbie's daily doses.
Ooh.
And this is just a dose of just wisdom, you know, my wisdom over the years, as well as I'm hoping that it will actually, you know, be a comfort to you in these days and times. So here it goes. Today we shall say we will walk in peace. We will walk in splendor. We will walk in love. We will walk in joy just for today. Tomorrow has not come yet, but if we prepare for today, then that will give us the strength for tomorrow. That is my daily dose to you.
All right.
So allow that to permeate in your mind and your spirit. And no matter what is going on in your life, take back your life. You take back your life and you live your life to the fullest according to what you feel, what you think, because no one can do that for you. Okay? Only you can. So you be encouraged. Absolutely. All right, today is going to be a pretty interesting day. We're going to be talking about a psychological term. It's called ghosting when it comes to relationships. And you're probably saying, well, I didn't even know this thing had a term to it, had a actual definition. But let me tell you what it is. Ghosting in a relationship is when someone leaves out of your life and cuts off all communication. They don't talk to you. You don't see them on Facebook. You don't see nothing. They literally disappear out of your life. And this happens more often than what we think. It can happen in any type of relationship. It can happen in families. It can happen in romantic relationships, workplace. It could just happen. But the mental and the emotional effects of this can be very severe. Okay? So I wanted to kind of really dive into this and help you understand, you know, why would a person do that to another person? You know, what would cause them to just disappear out of their life? Well, Dr. Debs will tell you it's many factors. It's many factors, not just one, not just because they don't love you no more, okay? It's not just that. You have people that literally, they get so consumed in what they're thinking and what they're feeling, they become very numb to another person's feelings. Now, the thing about this is you got the unhealthy part of this, which is how it affects us mentally. So let's just take, one situation. If you're involved in a relationship that is romantic, okay, and it could be something of, quick, when I say quick, you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about like a one-night stand. Okay? So if this is something, I mean, because people still doing this, y'all. Yeah, you might have been, why isn't that unhealthy? Well, a lot of people still doing this. This is what this happens, right? So, but this particular one-night stand, you was feeling something about this person. You know what I'm saying? And when I say one-night stand, sometimes it's like, you meet a person and people sleep with them and they don't see them anymore, okay? And that happens, but this relationship went on for like 3 months, okay? And this person told you, oh, they love you. They really want to be in your life. They think that you're marvelous, blah, blah, blah. They even love bomb you. They went and took you out shopping. They did all these things and made you think that, oh, you're the one. Yeah, you are the one. You are the one. They made you think that you are the one, and everything is surrounded by you. And then one day, they stop receiving phone calls. You're calling them. They're not answering. You texting them. They don't text back.
Mm.
And this happened, okay, 3 days. Then 3 days turns into a week.
Mm.
And so you're like, I don't understand.
What happened? What did I do?
What did I do? And this is what first thing usually go, they go right back to themselves. What did I do to deserve this? What did I do? How could you do this to me? How could you break me? How can't you hurt me like this?
Mm.
I care for you. I thought you were real. Now, if that person had some other damaging relationships, guess what's going to happen?
Oh.
They're going to internalize all that in all of that rejection. Internalize. Then it's going to open up that trauma that was there before.
Mm.
So if they had it more than once, it's going to continue to open up all of those areas that might have been sutured by time. But it opens up all of their, now they feel all that pain from the past and now the present.
Wow.
Now you ask me, you're like, wow, I thought it was nothing just for a one-night stand. People just leave each other. But you don't know who you're dealing with.
Right.
You don't know, because remember, you didn't get to know the person. And I'm not trying to put the badness on the person that's exiting. Because sometimes we do have to exit for our own healthy reasons. Okay, so remember I say, so it's just more than one side to look at. There's many factors. But I'm on this side of the coin right now. Okay, this side of the coin means that that person is going to be impacted by that exit.
Yes.
And not only are they going to be impacted, they're going to be fragmented. They're going to be broken.
Yes.
And it depends on how long this is going to happen, because they had a hard time dealing with it before. You see what I'm saying? So now, here we go again. Now I'm going into depression.
Mm-hmm.
I can't eat. I'm having problems sleeping. I feel guilty. I feel remorseful. What's wrong with me? Why can't I find love? Why everybody desert me? Do you see where I'm going at with this?
Oh, yes. It just snowball
effect.
It goes
on and on and on and on. And it's so, I don't want to say sympathize. I empathize with a person. I empathize with a person that's going through that, because that's not an easy thing.
Yeah.
And if they don't love themselves enough to understand that they are not the ones that are causing this, you see what I'm saying? Then they're really going to have a hard time. And if they don't change the way they do things. Instead of, the thing about this is, you never know when a person is like that. You never know. But you have to always protect yourself with the trust factor. The trust factor clearly says, I introduce myself to you, if I share myself with you, mind, body, and soul, I am not going to attach a string to that. I'm not going to. I cannot be caught up in what you're saying to me until I got evidence to prove it, that it is real. And only the evidence comes in time. In time. Okay? Now, that's just a one-night stand or the quick fix. But let's go a little further. Have you been married for 25 years?
Ooh.
Somebody cuts you off, leaves out of your life. You come home one day.
And they're gone.
And they're gone. So what is the severity? And I mean, is there any comparison in that?
I've known
that
people.
What do you think, Naima? It's going to get a little worse.
I've known people who have been through that, and it is emotionally devastating. Because they didn't see it coming. There were issues in the relationship, but they didn't expect the person to just disappear. Now, I've known people who have both ghosted someone, and I've known people who have been ghosted.
Uh-huh.
Now, the person who left, they didn't know how to break the relationship because they feared that the person would get so angry, and they didn't know how to handle anger of the other person. They didn't have the emotional capacity to break off a relationship in a normal way. So
right.
They simply packed up their things and left. Left the whole city, left the, I think they were, I don't think they were married, but they had been living together for some time.
Right.
And this person who left and cut off all relations with the person they were with, they just didn't know how to end it. And they didn't want to face the anger and the hurt of the other person, so they just
uh-huh.
disappeared. So that was on them not having the emotional maturity to properly end a relationship out of respect to another person, because they didn't know how to handle another person's anger. And I guess that came from however they were raised, where they couldn't deal with anger.
Right.
And so they never learned how to face intense emotions, and so they just avoided them. And that's what they did. That's how they ended their relationship. Just
mm-hmm.
cut off all ties, you know, change your phone number, all of that. And, of course, I'm sure it was devastating to the person that they left behind.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Now, the person who had been ghosted, the person who received that kind of treatment, this was someone who, it was the one-night stand situation where she thought it was, oh, romantic evening, how come he doesn't call me after that? And, of course, she was
right.
devastated because she thought it was one thing, and apparently it was not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she found out later on, and then doing some research about this person, she found out they were married. So she, after she found out, she could not call them and say, why did you leave? But she wanted to say, why did you even have me thinking I cared and all I was just, you know, some fling that you had. She wanted to contact them and just vent, but then she decided not to. But she was devastated, and, of course, all her trust was shattered from then on, you know.
Right, right, yes.
But those were two situations where I knew both sides, and, you know, both of them, are signs that a person is not emotionally healthy when they leave a relationship badly, and maybe if they get left, maybe they were lacking in discernment and just didn't see the signs that the person they were with was not all there emotionally for them and didn't have the intention of being there.
Exactly, because, again, ghosting is done so many different ways now, okay? It's just not, you know, the communication cut off. You know, some people, you know, can be in your house and ghost you.
Mm.
And they cut off, you know, they don't even
stop talking to you.
Mm-mm. Nah. It's in your workplace. Cut you off. They talk to everybody else, but they used to talk to you now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But now they don't talk to you. And see, what really affects this and makes this such a very negative thing is because you don't give a iota about the person's feelings, but most of all, you don't explain to them. You don't give them a rhyme or a reason. No communication. Oh, I'm not talking to you because. No, you don't. None of that. You just cut them off, period.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? And then in your mind, you got a reason, but that person never finds out. You know what I'm saying? Now, we in ghost relationships, when it comes to the outside world, when I say outside world, we're dealing with people who are in relationships, have been in relationships, and those individuals just totally take them out of their life. I said take them or remove them out of their life. You see what I'm saying? And the degradation of the effects of those emotionally on that individual, this thing can take a whole nother toll. Now, like you said, that person was not emotionally stable. That person's not emotionally stable. They've already had this happen before. They were abandoned as children. They were rejected as children. So all of this rejection from the past comes to the present. Okay, and then they become extremely angry. Not only are they hurt, they're extremely angry. So that anger turns into me stalking you.
Mm.
Oh, I'm going to find you.
Mm-hmm.
Since you want to just disappear out of my life and don't tell me and don't have the nerve to explain to me why you're doing this, not that, that I have to explain, but in their mind, because maybe that person was abusive. See, so many different factors of why a person would ghost somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But when that person leaves, if you leave an unhealthy person, a lot of times what they do, you're trying to get rid of them out your life, but then they're still trying to stay in your life.
Mm.
So they may park at, if they know where you live, they may park at your home. If they know where you work, they may come to your job.
Mm.
So now it becomes extremely unhealthy. So what do we do in a situation like that? The thing to do is before it even gets to that level, again, check some of these people that you are being personal with when it comes to their mentality and their emotional equation, which means you need to know if you're dealing with a healthy person or unhealthy person. Not because they're cute, not because they're good lover, not because none of that. No, because see, none of that, that's on the outside. But what's going on in the inside is what counts.
Yes.
What's going on the inside of their mind? They could be a handsome man but have devastation effects on you.
Yeah.
Mentally or emotionally. And vice versa. They could be a beautiful woman, but something's not right upstairs.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. So I want you to be aware of that and take the time to really allow yourself to get to know someone. You know, check them spiritually. You know, you know if you're vibing with someone or not. Something, if you're vibing with them and you see you got chemistry, okay, now let's test them. We have to test them at this point. And there's nothing wrong with you asking that person, especially if you've been talking for a period of time. Excuse me, have you ever been in a mental health hospital?
Ooh. Do people tell the truth about that when they...
Not all the time.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's, you know, it's unfortunate.
You may not just, no, not blatantly ask like that. Maybe you should say something. You know, how are you under pressure?
Yeah, how do you handle pressure? How do you handle anger?
Yeah, how do you handle disappointment? You know, what's your pet peeves when it comes to, you know, a relationship?
Yes.
And if they tell you something, oh, I don't like what people don't do what I tell them to do when I tell them to do it.
Mm. And then what do you do when they don't do what you tell them to do?
There you go. Now you're going to start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have a person, first of all, coming in with what they call obsessional behaviors, such as, you know, telling you how to dress, telling you what they don't want you to wear, but what they do want you to wear, how to wear your hair. I mean, telling you what to do with your being, not accepting for who you are now. It's different than saying, you know what, some lights, like, you know, that color would look nice to you. Maybe you need to wear that color.
Oh, I like your hair when you wear it like that. You know, something
right.
like that. You know, encouraging you as opposed to requesting that you follow a mold that they think you should follow.
Yeah, like, oh, I don't want you wearing that short dress. You know what I'm saying? No, I don't want you wearing that tight shirt.
Well, how does the person...
You'd be surprised what people would say. I mean, it is something...
How does a person tell the difference between someone who's showing concern and care and preference over someone who's being controlling? Because I think people don't really know when someone has crossed the line and become controlling as opposed to someone who might be expressing a preference on what they like visually about you. And it can start out with suggestions, and then it becomes demands the more they feel like, you know, we're in a relationship where there is a bond and a commitment. Now I can tell you how you must look, your hair, your clothes, your nails, your you know, everything, your walk, your talk. I have the right to tell you because you're mine now. How does a person know when things may have crossed that line and really gotten to the point of being controlling?
when it goes from relationship to ownership. That's how you're going to know. Mm. Relationship is just this tone, pitch, and value. Oh, sweetie, you look really nice in that. Mm. Yeah. But you know what? Isn't that dress I brought you the other day? Would you like to put that on? I think that will be nice for us when we're going out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, otherwise, and the other side of this, I don't like that on you. Tone, pitch, and value.
Mm.
What do you put that on for? No, you need to take that off because that, you know, I don't want that on you. You're not going out no place with me.
You ain't going out with me looking like that. Okay, so now I'm sure there are those who say, well, look, I've gone out with somebody that didn't have any fashion sense or any sense of what was appropriate.
Yes.
Pardon me. How do I tell them that what they're wearing is unattractive to me and I don't feel it, you know, properly reflects the dress code of where we're going? I'll give an example. A friend of mine was going to a concert. And, you know, she got all dressed up and everything, nice outfit, nice dress and everything. And then her date comes, and he's wearing, you know, some old raggedy jeans and a T-shirt. And she's like, what are you doing? You know, but as far as, you know, because they came from, like, two different backgrounds. So culturally for him, this is where you go when you're going to hear music. For her, a concert is you dress up. So, you know, she was angry at him all night, and he didn't understand, and then they finally talked about it, and she realized he had a different concept of how you go to listen to music than she had.
Right.
So how do you have that kind of conversation when you want to be in harmony, I guess, with however you're presenting yourself on a date that you're going on? How do you make sure that that person understands what you expect in terms of the dress code without sounding controlling?
Well, you would suggest to them, before you even go out with them or, you know, going to meet, you would say something like, hey, you know what? I'm going to dress up for this. I hope you are too. Do you have some linen in your closet? You know, maybe you need to put some nice slacks on. I said, because I think we need to look good together.
That should be
previous to, you know, because that first time you may not know, but that second time you know,
you gotta make sure you make it clear.
It's just good to tell them that ahead of time, so just in case, if this is like a first timer and you don't know, you just let them know. I'm gonna dress up in this nice dress. And I hope you are, too. I hope you're going to wear a nice suit or whatever the case is so we can really look good together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice way of saying,
put
on something decent.
Yeah, put on something decent. Don't you come here in no raggedy jeans again.
Right. So, you know, and people have their different tweaks and things of this nature. But like I say, ghosting can be very detrimental to us in terms of, really, rejection and abandonment is real. When we feel rejected and abandoned, we totally change into someone else because no one wants to be hurt. No one wants to be taken advantage of. But at the same token, if, again, they don't have a healthy psyche, then, of course, I know people will leave out. But I always tell people, if you're going to leave like you can, you know? Leave like you can, even if you can't, if they don't understand, write a letter. If you can't talk to them, write a Dear John letter. Let them know the reason why you were exiting. And they may or may not agree with that, and that's fine. But at least leave like you can. If you came in with explanations, explanations and tell them, okay, this is what I feel, this is what I think, okay, you need to leave that way as well. And there's a reason behind that because, again, don't leave holes that you don't want filled. Somebody will fill the mold with some things that you don't want, so it might as well just go ahead and say what you got to say. Now, if they're going to be unhealthy-minded because of obsession or something of that nature, there's nothing you can do about that but protect yourself.
Mm.
I understand that. So sometimes ghosting is necessary, but still, you still should be able to say something to that person. Oh, I'm not with you because this is not a healthy relationship for us. I'm leaving because, you know, but not Because again, if you're speaking to someone that's unhealthy,
their response could be,
they're gonna take that to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Well, I've got a friend who was ghosted and also kind of comes from an abandonment situation, and the relationship she's in now, it's kind of following a pattern. I want to talk about that when we come back. You know, women who, and maybe even men, you know, they seek to buy the person in order to make them stay. We'll talk about that when we come back after this break.
Okay.
And if this is you, I'm not saying your name, and if, you know, I love you, my friend, but, you know, I'm concerned. So we'll be right back after this break. Stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Wonderful having you with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, the executive. solution. And our topic of today is ghosting in relationships. And again, ghosting is when someone leaves out of your life without a trace, without no communication, no explanation, no reason. They just gone.
Yeah.
And they're forever gone. And they do not contact you at all.
Wow.
It's just like they just disappear. And the thing about this is it causes so much after effects in us to the point where we don't even realize the damage until later on. Okay? So I just want to encourage everyone, if you've ever been through something like this, please understand that it is not the person that leaves you, but the love that you give yourself during that time when the person leaves you. It's extremely important to know that you are worthy of love. You're worthy of everything you deserve. And because someone else doesn't understand your greatness, that's not your problem.
Well, you know, I've got a friend, and I think they're on a unfortunate pattern because they came up in a household where their father left the family suddenly, and it was, I guess her mother was ghosted. Father left, you know, after argument her parents had, he left and never came back and couldn't be reached. And, you know, and she's grown up with various kinds of difficulties as a result of that feeling of abandonment. So in her first marriage, her husband was unfaithful, you know, kept going out with other women and all of that sort of thing. And she was feeling unworthy, unlovable, you know, is it my weight, you know, and all of that sort of thing. So, you know, she got into some one-night stand kind of situations, thinking, oh, this is a romantic relationship, and then eventually the guy stopped calling, you know, not taking her calls. So then after that, she seemed to keep attracting needy men, like, you know, men who, if it wasn't for her, they'd be homeless, you know, and so they'd move in with her, and she had a nice job, nice apartment and everything. They'd move in with her, and they weren't really working, but she sort of took care of them. And, you know, if they got into an argument, she would, like, back down so that they wouldn't leave. And I watched this pattern. You know, this is the second person that she's had living with her, driving her car, spending her money, you know, always between jobs, you know, decent looking. And I think her thought is, I'm not really attractive enough to have a man like this, so I've got to pay and make sure he doesn't leave. And so, you know, she's constantly bailing them out financially and everything. And as much as you try to mind your own business, you can see the unhealthiness of it, and you can, you know, you want to say, don't you realize you're worth more? Because you can see, you know, someone that talks to them badly and kind of maybe even, you know, puts them down. She's always upset, always frustrated, always talking about how bad he treats her. And yet she's, you know, consistently paying for him to live with her, it seems like, which is just different than someone that you're comfortable with in a relationship. But if you're always on eggshells, you know, always making sure they're not mad so they don't leave, or if they have an argument, you know, she's the first one to call back and say, well, are we okay? You know, always wanting to make sure that he's not mad. It's like she lives in fear of being abandoned again, and, you know, doesn't feel that she is worth this person, even though they treat her badly. And, you know, I mean, people's relationships are, you know, their own business, but you kind of wonder, are you attracting this and holding on to this out of your fear because of the, you know, past of being abandoned, being ghosted, not feeling worthy? How does a person turn around a situation in which inside themselves they are not feeling that they are enough to keep a good relationship? And so they overcompensate because they're afraid of being ghosted?
Well, a lot of times people struggle with loneliness, okay? So that is, again, we go back to the self-love and what do I deserve thing. What do I deserve, you know? And then you should, someone should be able to ask that question and know, what do I deserve out of this life? What do I deserve in relationships? What do I deserve from other people, you know? And if you are inquiring about that, then what it is, you're going to love bomb. That's what you're talking about.
Mm.
When a person literally constantly buying love or giving to another individual just so that they can be compensated. So, you'll stay. Oh, you want to feel, I want you to fill this void, you know, that I have.
Wow.
Because that's what they're doing. You're filling a void by what they call materialistic ventures.
Well, we've got a caller if you want to take calls. And anybody else on our switchboard, if you've got something to say, just press one. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts. Have you ever ghosted somebody? Have you ever been ghosted? How did you feel? How did you handle that? And if you were the ghoster, what was your reason? And if you were the ghostee, how are you handling being left?
Yes.
So let's go to area code 314-677 Grand Rising. You're on Soulful Solutions.
You know, there's nothing wrong now. You know, you described a lot of dysfunctionality that wasn't put in place, where things wasn't put in place early on. And when these people get older and all this is starting to back up on, there's nothing wrong with being able to tell somebody that you don't need them anymore.
Ooh.
And especially if you tell a man that, a woman tell a man, look, I don't need you no more. That takes them to their knees. Nothing to do with that. But see, not only should you be able to quote unquote ghost a person, you should be able to also ghost other things in your life, like politics, like certain parties, because each one is different. They bring about different interests, and the interests that they bring about should make your life better. But if they continue to hold you in one spot, at some point in time, a long time ago, you should have told them, I don't need you no more.
So that when you say I don't need you anymore, I mean, that's kind of like your relationship was based on need. Like, I was dependent on you. I used you. Now I'm on my feet. Bye. You know, I don't know. I mean, some people, that's what their relationships are about. Like, because I've had friends with, you know, look, he pays my bills. He pays my car note. And, you know, he's not really what I want, but he's what I need right now. And then, you know, maybe they get the job they wanted or they get a little financially secure. And that is really kind of how it ended up. I don't need you no more, which is, I don't know, cruel. I mean, shouldn't a relationship be based on more than I'm using you as an agent?
You know, I had, you know, and usually women, there's been women I've had relationships, not no intimate relationships, but they was down on their luck. Like, if I don't get some food in the house, the Division of Family Service is going to come in Monday and take my kids. Well, I bought food in the house. I bought one a car so they could get on their feet. That's the whole thing. You help somebody get on their feet. See, here's the thing. You got the old slogan, do unto others like you want them to do unto you. No. You do unto others before they can do unto you. Because that same principle, you want to do unto them so that they can do for themselves. That way they don't have to worry about them doing unto you. That's the way that should work.
Okay.
Another point.
So how did that work out with the person that you helped out? I mean, were they expecting more than just help?
They're doing a better life.
Okay.
They're doing a better life. Everyone needs some sort of help. You got to trust somebody at some point in life. I mean, you just got to trust. And you got to know how to direct that trust. Another point, it's sad to grow old. You need to have children in your life because children always have a particular need that can be recycled over and over and over, as long as you don't run out of children. One of the most graceful things for grandparents is to have children around, because grandparents, legitimate grandparents, not 35-year-olds, they bring to the picture what you call intergenerational assets. They bring wisdom, and if they had a functional life themselves, they can bring monetary value, especially to those children that's trying to improve themselves in the educational realm. Why are you worried about student loans? If you had that in place, you wouldn't need student loans. If your education was what it should have been, then those that have the same mindset in the form of scholarship, they sitting there on the table. But if you don't qualify to take them, then you are revealing that you have some deficiencies that wasn't addressed before you got to the table. So that's how that stuff works.
Well, now, one thing that brings to mind what you just said, you know, we had a whole generation of people who just kind of spazzed out on drugs or whatever. So they were not functional, and they may have had children, but they were not those grandparents that had a savings that would help you. I mean, they were struggling with their survival, might have been homeless, might have been, the drug addict, in jail, out of jail person. So they were not. They didn't have that relationship with their grandchildren. So now
you know the term that applies to them.
They don't have anybody.
You know what the term is that applies to them?
What's that?
Some people just ain't gonna make it. But you got to keep on going to make sure that your child, and that you never get to the point in life where you say to yourself, "I wish I had us." That's a terrible feeling. It's the same thing with your wife and husband. Every time that you leave that family member, you should hug them if you're showing all this love. Because if something happens, you always yearn to hug them just one more time.
If I'd have known they were never coming back, yeah. Well, now I have a question. Because I've seen this happen often. Got a male friend who was helping a female, just like you just described, you know, helping her with her children so that, you know, the Department of Children and Family Services wouldn't come and break up their home, you know, buying groceries, driving them different places, and all of that. And I guess the expectation was that that was going to be a relationship, and yet this woman, once she got on her feet and didn't need him anymore, she hooked up with another guy. And he felt devastated because he thought that she would have been motivated to care for him in a deeper fashion when, in fact, he was just, you know, someone that she needed temporarily. And he felt like he had been abandoned.
Deficient.
He was kind of bitter after that.
He was deficient because of his expectations. You know, let me tell you something. Donald Trump, at one point in his life, he had three black men that came to him and asked him, could he lend them money to start a business, which he did. They went out and started a business, and the business was successful. And they came back to him to pay back what he lent them. You know what he told them? Don't worry about it.
Was noble.
I helped a young, and it ain't the only person. You know you can't keep up with these things, but that's something that you don't try to keep up with because actually there's other things that takes up your time. Heck, I've helped women that was riding the bus to be able to get off from work at 12 o'clock midnight and go home. I pick them up, take them home. They was going to school in the daytime. Then when it come time for the job interview, I took her out and I bought her some Cicely Tyson 2-inch pumps, a skirt, and a blouse. She went
and
took the interview and got hired on the spot.
So there were no strings attached. You just wanted to help, right?
No string attached. Well, I don't have time for that. You got see, you really don't. you know, if you're going to be in those, I don't know how people do it because that take up a lot of time and energy, these string attacks. And you do, and actually they became very, emotional over it. Because here's a perfect damn near stranger that's helping you.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, look, you go ahead and do what you got to do. And actually, this was an African female. I said, you find somebody of your particular ethnic group. She was Igbo. I say, mm-hmm. No, you find somebody. It's they here in this country. And she did. She found a lawyer. And they all, she moved to California with him. She's working in her profession. He's working in his. She's got three kids. This woman was young. I ain't going through the process of having kids no more. That's a lot of work. If you understand what I'm saying. And if you don't want to have kids, if you don't want to have kids, and she do want to have kids, now you're being selfish. That's why it's so important to raise your kids, right? And raise them with the functionality.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point to make sure that both parties understand what the relationship is. If you're helping someone or if there is actually a relationship, I think the difficulty comes in when intimacy is introduced and then there's an expectation, and there might not have been an expectation on the part of the person who really maybe just going through a thing, but like the lady who...
Yes, they going through a problem in life.
Right.
And, you know,
but,
it's very sad. And, you know,
well, Dr. Debbie, let me get your thoughts, Dr. Debbie, when it comes to...
Let me add this real quick before you go to Dr. Debbie, if you don't mind. Because just like lotto numbers and bingo, they come all in a bunch. But the thing is that, like I said before, when a woman... And we talking about women. I guess it's applied to men. A woman gets down to the point where all she got to give you is herself physically. That is a very low, low, low. And then if somebody tell her, I don't want that, then that's just like putting a knife through your heart. You have to prevent a person reaching that stage. You have to put things in place where they can see it coming and ward it off.
Mm.
And that comes in the proper raising of young people, your children.
Well, we definitely appreciate your being a kind, loving soul that gives from your heart without any expectations. But we know not everybody does that. Sometimes there are expectations, and then there are disappointments. So, Dr. Debbie, you know, there are people who can't tell the difference between when it's a relationship or when it's just a hookup, you know, when there are feelings or when someone's just being nice, you know, and how do people go about so they don't end up disappointed if somebody says, well, you know, I'm done with you and disappears? How do people go about making sure that what they have is what they think they have in terms of a relationship that's moving to a commitment?
Well, as I said before, when you have the understanding of self-love, self-love comes from a lot of things. It comes with self-boundaries and limits. It also comes with self-understanding of what you feel you deserve and what you feel you do not deserve. So going into any relationship, it doesn't matter if it's heterosexual or whatever, monogamous, you know, gay lifestyle, it doesn't matter, family, any relationship, you have to have those boundaries. And the reason why those boundaries are set in place is to protect you. It's to protect you. Now, I heard the gentleman, because I'm not sure of his name, he was really specific about talking about women in giving up their bodies for whatever reason thereof. Usually a woman, if she gets to that point to just use her physical assets of herself, you see what I'm saying, to obtain something, then usually it has a lot to do, like you said, with upbringing, but most of all, with the understanding of the love of self. Because you can have the best upbringing, but that don't mean you love yourself, okay?
Mm.
That don't mean you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody can tell you you're the greatest since white bread, but you don't think so. because of something you feel inside about you. So therefore, you will use other ways of trying to express your love to another individual just so you can receive love, okay? So, you know, is this unhealthy or healthy? No, it's unhealthy. That's exactly what it is, because one has a ability to express love in many, many different ways, but the first area of love that needs to be expressed is self-love, because self-love is going to keep you, again, in a posture of understanding of what I feel I deserve, and not with a selfish mind, not with a mind of instability or emotional dysfunction or deregulation, but it's just what it is. No, I'm not going to allow you to talk to me any type of way with any type of pitch, tone, or value. I'm not going to allow you to put me in any situation that I feel uncomfortable in. I'm not going to put myself into any uncomfortable positions. And if I do, I will learn from my mistakes and my errors, and I will not repeat those things. So, I mean, it is a big thing. So, again, ghosting, because I don't want us to get away from the actual definition, but most of all, the actual understanding of what ghosting is. Ghosting is in relationships, because ghosting can appear in any part of our life. Hell, we can leave ourselves. We can ghost ourselves and stop communicating with ourselves, which means don't listen to our heart, don't listen to our mind, and allow things to happen in our life on a repetitive where we become self-defeated, self-sabotaging, self-destructive, because you ain't taking care of yourself. You abandon yourself. Let's keep it real. So, you know, we want to make sure everybody has a good understanding of what that is. You see what I'm saying? And if you give to someone, you know, in love, okay, that's fine. And if you feel you need to remove yourself, but have the dignity to remove yourself with a posture of humility, regardless of what it is. If it's a negative relationship, hey, this is not working anymore. This is unhealthy for both of us, not just, don't say no healthy for me. I don't love you anymore. You ain't worthy of me. I don't need you.
I don't need you anymore.
Those words like that cut another human being. I don't care how they grew up. I don't care what kind of status they have, how much money they have. Those words, no one does not want to be unneeded.
Yeah, I don't need you anymore.
No one doesn't want to be unneeded.
Yeah.
You can tell a stranger, oh, I don't need you. And they don't even know you, that I hurt them. You see what I'm saying? So what do you think is going to affect a person that's been in your life for a period of time, whether they're family, children, mother, sister, brother, friend, foe? That right there, I don't need you. You can get out of my life. I'm removing you out of my life. You're throwing a person away in their face. Right there. Now, the thing about love, again, assertive communication is extremely important. You should be able to be assertive. What is assertive communication? It's taking the opportunity to stand your ground, but also respecting another person's opinions or statements and offering an alternative to so we can get on the middle ground, okay? Some people, it's hard to get on middle ground with them because they're very, I call it hardwired people, okay? Hardwired people is like they're etched in stone. They are who they are. They don't flex and they don't bend. Okay, if that's who you are, that's fine. But then you leave me no alternative but to make the best decisions for myself. Because if you don't want to flex, if you don't want to communicate, okay, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do but make the decisions I have to make for myself. And then you may think, oh, they're selfish or this and that, but what else can I tell you? You don't want to communicate? I can't make you communicate. I can't make you not love me or accept me. But I know one thing. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand and know that I am enough. I'm enough.
I'm enough.
Whether you think I'm not enough, that's okay. But I am enough. So if you exit my life, at any given time, I have to protect myself. This is self-protection. Self-protection comes with self-rescue. And if you don't have those two things, not whether you're a man, woman, child, you will always feel the impact of pressure from other people who exit your life.
Mm. Well, we got to take a break, but when we come back, we got a caller on the line, and I want to take a look at what happens if people feel like, you know, someone has said, I don't need you anymore, and leaves, and how does that feel, and should your relationships be based on being needed, you know, and what that does if you keep looking for people who need you as opposed to people who love you.
Right.
Well, we'll be right back after this break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And if you're on our switchboard now, press 1, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. We'll come to our callers after the break. And, of course, if you are on Soulful Solutions, if you want to join us on Facebook, go to Soulful Solutions on Facebook and join us live and write in your comments, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
I'm Dr. Debbie Green, my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. Can we take that caller, please?
Yes. We're opening the mic for area code 773-450 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience. And give us your thoughts.
Grand Rising. Grand Rising.
Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. How is everybody doing?
We're fantastic. So has anyone ever disappeared suddenly from your life and there was no trace?
Can I ask a name, please?
Yes. Give us a name.
Well, you know something that's interesting about that whole piece? I was curious because, first of all.
Dr. Debbie would like to address you, certainly respectfully.
Oh, this is Robert.
Okay, Robert.
Thank
you.
Okay, so what I was going to say was this. First of all, I think one of the things that people do is they get this, when they build relationships through their life, especially with this opposite sex or something like that, they have a tendency to make a mistake. The way the tradition teaches you is like people meet you and it's just this one go round, somebody's mad at you, and then that's over with. I never experienced it, fortunately. Every relationship I've had since I was 19, my very first girlfriend, we are still the best of friends. That's rare, but it's true. I had only one friend out of all these years I've been meeting and dealing with people that just dumped me at the corner. I was building my bonds with them in a relationship, and they just walked away and left me on the corner. I was like, really? I thought you should be friends. Oh, never. I ever want you to contact me ever again. But how come recently a person called me up and told me, I've had COVID for 6 months. I need somebody to help me. I cannot get to anywhere. I need some groceries. I need some help. And do you know I help them? But you see, in life, that's the whole purpose. People don't build relationships temporarily. You build a relationship eternally, and it should last you, and you should go back and be friends with this person no matter what. I think that's sort of like how traditional society is mixed up. We're supposed to help each other. Once you grow and you graduated and you got all this information and you got you a good job and all, why don't you go back and help somebody that does not have that benefit? That is a problem we don't do. I do it daily. Just like the brother said, he just helped a stranger. I do that all the time. Those people really need help. If we don't help the people that we don't even know, when will they get some assistance? You don't need to know somebody to sow into their life. You can just believe that they should be able to get ahead. And it's just like he said. You know, you do that to somebody, look at me, he actually will change their life. I walked up to them places and people didn't even have the money to pay for stuff and they were getting ready to walk away. And I just paid for it. Here, take care of it. Oh, wow, wonderful, thank you. I'd like to give you my phone number. No, thank you. I don't need your phone number. I just was paying it for it. I appreciate it. Leave it there. Pay it forward. Help somebody else out. And if we had that type of mentality in society to help each other so that those that gain something always give something back, we would have a better society. We wouldn't have people jumping folks, stealing money, or none of that. You wouldn't have to do that. People can ask me. I've been robbed once in life. But some guy run up on me, gun, stuck it in my back, and he was going to shoot at me. I looked at him. I started to throw him in front of a car and kill him. But I said, I have mercy on him. He took my money and ran off. Of course, I found out who he was because I know everybody in the neighborhood. They were going to go get him. I told him, stand down. You don't pay evil, repay evil with evil. But nonetheless, about 2 weeks later, somebody called. He was trying to rob somebody else. They chased him up into something and shot him dead. You should live your you should live your life on a cycle. You should always share. You should give and share. This is no competition. They create competition in the minds of people. We aren't on a competition. What about teamwork? You've got talents, I've got talents. If we group ourselves together and work our talents, look at what we will have. I'll leave you with this one. Naima, this is just the simplest thing on the planet for unity. Do you know if you had 100 men and 100 women, and this $100 bill I got in my hand, we just do that once a week. All of us pool our money. Do you know in 54 months, we would have over $1 million in that pool of people. There's 200 people. And look at the plethora of talents in that 200, how they could use that $1 million to do so much. But we don't have unity, so we can't even get that far. Can you imagine that? Just 200 people in a group, they could create a whole community, build all this stuff, and do whatever they wanted to. They wouldn't even need the government. But we don't have unity, love, and respect. Everybody wants to get ahead of everybody, and there's no such thing, because I can't get nowhere if you don't go nowhere. Hey, I appreciate y'all. Just keep doing that. But remember, we should love each other, even if, and this is the last piece. I've had it where people have been mean to me and all this. Do you know, Naima, I have no art at all. I can't hold anything against anybody. There was a scripture that said you should forgive 777 times. But when you look at the pain and the suffering and the hurt of people, I forgive again and again and again and again. I have no art. I would never feel like I would ever have to be angry at anybody. And one friend of mine said, hey, you should dump that person. They're no friend of yours. And I said, you know what? They need some help. I'm going to still help them until they are able to evolve and change. That's what we had to do. Let's rise our consciousness and be the light instead of looking for the light somewhere else. Hallelujah. Mm. Y'all keep doing it. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Mr. Robert. I appreciate your words of wisdom.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and again, everybody's talking about giving, but go see.
Well, you know, that's the thing.
But
so,
it's a part of, I know, to feel loved and to feel admired prevents us from going through ghosting. I guess that, I'm going to make it from there.
Well, you know, the thing is, because I have a friend who's, you know, one of those kind of altruistic males, but he's also looking for a woman in his life. And he's kind of another one on that pattern of, I'm going to find someone who needs me, I'm going to pay things for them. And he's been ghosted several times with women that it was, again, like, okay, well, thank you, I don't need you anymore. And he was really looking to have someone as part of his life. And even what I saw in his situation, he'd find a woman, he liked her, you know, she might need help with her children, with her bills and all that, and he'd do all that. And then her feeling was like, well, you know, I guess because he was kind to me, we'll have sex. Because like somebody said, you know, I'm giving all I got, which is just my body. That's all I have. So he's looking at that as, okay, now we're building a relationship. She's looking at it like, well, I'm paying for food and childcare with sex. And then that was really what it was. And then once she was done and had what she needed in terms of, you know, getting herself on her feet, she left without a trace. And this happened about 3 times. So now he's all angry and, you know, hating women and, oh, all women just use men and you think you got somebody and, oh, what is she? She just probably just a, you know, prostitute or whatever. But, you know, so this is somebody who couldn't see the difference between paying somebody or helping someone financially and them giving him sex in return and building a relationship with someone. And they literally, after they had gotten on their feet, left and left without a trace and didn't want to be bothered with him. I mean, didn't want to be contacted because it's like, I'm done with you, you know. Ooh. And so he's devastated, but it's happened several times. And he doesn't see the pattern and doesn't understand that he is drawing that to him by not knowing what a relationship feels like. Because he's thinking, if you need me and we are sexually intimate, we're in a relationship. So how does the person know the difference, people who don't know the difference, between a relationship where you are bonding and building something together and, you know, money being exchanged and sexual activity happening, but that's all there is? How can people who may be stuck in that cycle and keep getting ghosted because the person says, well, you talking marriage, I just needed you to pay my bills, I'm done, I don't even want to, don't call me no more. And they're feeling like they've been used, and they have. So how does the person who's in that cycle of being used and then left get out of that cycle by understanding what a real relationship is with someone who really does want to be with you?
Well, Well, let's take a look at that. Let me break that down. What is considered a real relationship? A real relationship has to have, you got three stages. You got the meet and greet stage. Hello, how you doing? Okay, that's the first stage. Hello, that means that you are allowing that person to get some of your time, being on the phone, or even, you know, you're not meeting them yet in person. Now, you're talking to them over the phone for a period of time. I personally think people need to talk over the phone for at least 3 weeks to a month, but that's just my opinion, okay? Some people don't do that. Remember, we deal with people, some people are very spontaneous with themselves,
mm-hmm.
not just with the other person, but with themselves. If they're spontaneous with others, if they're spontaneous with themselves, they're not going to do this. They want a fool's rush in, okay?
Mm.
So which means I want to get to know you very quickly and do everything with you very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get to know you. I just want to do everything with you very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Because I'm spontaneous.
Mm.
I'm impulsive, okay? This is how my habits was before, is, and that's just who I am. Okay, so a spontaneous person is going to be very fickle-minded, Naima.
Mm.
They're going to get into that relationship so quickly, and they're not even going to have a clue of who that person is.
Wow.
They don't even know their favorite color. They don't know their favorite food. They don't know what kind of background they got, if they got any type of mental illness in their background, or if they, you know, what inspires them, what. No, they're too caught up into this right here.
The physical.
The show
was fine. Okay, yeah, and.
You know what I'm saying? They're caught up into the physical person, but remember,
right. They
are spontaneous. Keep this in mind, okay? So when people are spontaneous, they just run them up.
Impulsive.
They don't care about nothing.
Yeah.
So what they do, if it's their money, they're spontaneous with, because they want something from you, okay? So they're going to love bomb you.
Mm.
Let me take you out shopping. Let me do this. Let me do that. You're like, wow, I found the weather. You know what I'm saying? This is great. Mm. Okay, all this happened in 1 week.
Mm.
1 week. All right, there's no, you haven't committed to that person. That person, in their mind, they want something from you. That's what they want. They want something, whether it's a commitment, whether they want to sleep with you, or whatever it is that they want to do with you, they want something from you. That's the reason why they do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, but the thing about this is, if you are consciously aware of what you're dealing with, as far as the spontaneous person is concerned, then what you're going to do, you're going to use the power of pause and back on up then. Hold up. Like they said, hold up, soul up. What's going on with you? What's going on with you? You wait a minute. You don't even know me, and you want to buy me a diamond bracelet?
Mm.
Okay, what do you want?
Right.
You say, well, some people can be that nice. Yes, but still. It ain't like, you paying for my groceries at the grocery store because I'm in line. No, that's a whole different situation.
Mm.
No, we're in this immediate thing of meet and greet. Okay, I met you, all right, talked to you for, I talked to you for a few days. Now you want to meet me. Okay, all right, you want to meet me? Where are we going to meet at? Oh, we meet in a public place, let's go to a restaurant. Okay, the restaurant, you came with flowers, that's so sweet. You came with a card, okay, all right. From that day on, you just constantly called me every single day. And you expect me to answer you every single day that you call me. Oh, I don't think nothing of it, because remember, I don't deal with spontaneous people. You know what I'm saying? I just think he really likes me. Okay? So I'm responding. So one day he decides, won't you come to my house? Oh, better yet, let's take a trip.
Mm.
Okay? As long as I can get you in closed doors some kind of way.
You can't get away.
Because I want a part of you. Now I want your body.
Mm.
You already gave me your mind. You already gave me your time. Now I want your body.
Mm.
And I feel I need to. You should give me your mind. I
spent all this money on you.
I said, right, why don't you love me? I don't understand. Why don't you love me?
That's what I see happening in a lot of relationships. And it goes both ways. Like I said, you know, I've known women who've done it and men who've done it. I've spent all this money on you. Why don't you love me? As if that's, you know, that should be a payment for whatever they need. You know, I'm lonely.
Yes, I'm addressing the gentleman that you're talking about.
Yes.
The one that constantly keeps cycling in his relationship because he is spontaneous.
Yes.
He's spontaneous. He needs to slow down. He needs to access himself and find out what are you worthy of. So you want to give this, you want to give a woman the understanding that you are there for her by, you know, being there financially for her, okay? But you don't even know her. You don't know if she's one of these same women that, you know, just look for men like this. You have no idea who she is. You just caught up in what she looks like. You caught up in what she's doing. You caught up in what she's dressed. Oh, is that what? She going to tell you, she going to give you some good loving too? Oh, wow. Okay, now, oh, I think I have one.
Mm.
But then you realize, wait a minute, she ain't calling no more.
Yeah. She ain't answering my call.
That's not the one.
She don't answer my text.
Why did you not notice the same cycle? You should have seen the same cycle of people. It should have been very, very known to you, obviously, that you are the one that's cycling, not them. You are.
So,
you are the one that's cycling.
So is that a case where a person doesn't really know what a real relationship feels like? So
bam.
That,
you said it.
Mm.
You said it. No, you still dealing with one-night stands that last a few months. You have no idea.
Ooh. Wow.
You still do because this is what you're accepting. You are accepting these type of women or men, if I can say, that are in the same category. They deal with spontaneous folk. People who are spontaneous always want to rush and go into a relationship, not realizing a relationship is like building a house, one piece at a time. First, you got to lay a foundation.
And that's
you got to lay a foundation. Once you lay that foundation, then you build on that foundation. And then, you know, it takes time to build a house. The house is not, now if you got a whole lot of, if you just build a house, it's, I don't care if you got four or five people, you ain't going to build that in one day. It's going to take time to build that house. And the relationship is the same way. It's the same way. And you got to be careful what you put in there, too. You got to be careful. You got to put some love, but it's got to be genuine, unconditional love. Some self-discipline got to be put in there. Your self-discipline plus the other person's self-discipline. You got to build boundaries to that person, and they need to be bound boundaries to you. Whatever you put in, you need to expect back.
Mm.
That's what it is. You build that relationship from the, I call it from the inside out. It's the inside out. I know, I believe it was Sister Zelda was saying that our social media influences us when it comes to relationships and how, because they got all of these dating sites, a million dating sites all over the world.
People that you will never really know because you're meeting them online where people lie.
Because this is the new way, this is the new age how we meet people. But again, just because somebody tell you you're sexy and you're beautiful, that's not a reason why you are spontaneous to them. Okay?
Right. Right.
So wait, just wait. Be patient. Learn of this person. Talk, especially online, you need to be talking to them for a couple of months. And you'll know whether they're consistent, because if they are consistent chatting with you, then that's a, then you get the opportunity to, you know, learn of them, what kind of person they are, whatever, you know, what kind of background they came from. But before you even exchanging numbers with them, you see what I'm saying? And when you exchange numbers with them, you still continue to talk to them until you really understand who you're dealing with.
Right. You know,
because
I think
people can be very manipulative and deceptive. You got to be careful.
Definitely. I think what tends to happen is that people mistake sexual intimacy for a relationship. And if one person thinks, okay, now that we've been sexually intimate, we're in a relationship, and the other person thought, oh, wow, I finally got that, you know, okay, we're done, you know, then you're going to get a lot of hurt because there are two different interpretations of what that experience together meant. And I find that people get hurt if the two people, the two spontaneous people, whatever it is, if they don't both have the same concept of what that is, like you mentioned the one night stand, okay? Now, if one person is thinking, oh, this is the beginnings of a relationship, or even if it's a one night stand that lasts, you know, a couple of weeks, but then there really wasn't any interest built up, you know, conversation that was had or goals or anything. Like you mentioned, a person woos you and they willing to spend all this money on you and you all impressed, and then you have this romantic interlude. And then, oh, okay, that was interesting. And then they're done. And you're thinking, okay, what happened to him? Why is he's not calling me anymore? And
right.
I mean, I had a friend who he ghosted someone because his thought was, this woman is crazy. She's stalking me. You know, I mean, okay, we had what we had, but that was it. I'm done. I don't know why is she thinking I'm supposed to keep calling her. And that is how he saw things. He was not trying to build a close, emotional, intimate relationship. He was looking for an interlude of you know, sexual enjoyment, and he thought that's what she had in mind. And then she said, well, she keeps calling me, and, you know, okay, I'm not interested in her. I blocked her number. And so he ghosted her, but his point of view was she's a stalker and she's trying to continue this thing that wasn't a thing in my mind, but maybe it was for her. So,
right.
I mean, you have people that's how they see life.
That's true.
How do you explain to a ghoster the impact of what they're doing so that perhaps they can learn to be more honest in situations where they may perhaps be misleading someone that they have wooed into a relation or a sexual intimacy, and the other person thought it was a relationship? Because as a matter of fact, you know, my male friend said, well, this is what we learn how to do. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is what older guys teach you how to do, how to get the woman. But, I mean, if she's not somebody that interests you and, you know, you don't be bothered with her, then, hey, you move on. But I don't want nobody stalking me. I mean, so it sounded real cold and cruel, but in his mind, this is how it is. How come she didn't understand the rules of the game? The game is over. We're done. You know, I'm not interested in you. Why are you calling me? That's how he saw it. So do you explain to a person who maybe does that to people how hurtful it is?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. I mean, do unto others as that you wish to be done unto. You know what I'm saying? So, which means that just don't handle me like that. I mean, I'm not going to get so emotionally involved. That's why I said what I said earlier. You have to have boundaries and limits to people for a period of time. I think you set your boundaries. Safe boundaries is for the first year of any relationship. First year, safe boundaries. And the reason why I say safe boundaries is different from extended boundaries. Safe boundaries is where I am not going to get emotionally attached to you until I know without a shadow of a doubt we are in a healthy, committed relationship. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it. So if a person wants to leave out of your life, and if that person, the ghoster, like you said, you know, I think they should leave out there just like, you know, a good job. Okay, you no longer want that good job, no, you give a 2 weeks notice.
Right, you don't just not come in one day.
Yeah.
You just never show up again.
You walk off the job one day, you might have to come back to that job. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Or leave that for a reference.
Yes. Well, leave a good track record with people. That's all I'm saying. Because you never know what the end is going to be. Most of all, you never know who you're dealing with. You may be dealing with a person that is, again, emotionally unstable. Mm-hmm. So like you said, it could be a stalker. So it's good to like, but you got to be careful of your jargon, of what kind of words you use to do your exit. And then, you know, something is telling, I don't think we are healthy for each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And I understand. I will take the bulk of this because I am making the decision to exit this relationship. Now, I know you may not understand and you may not agree with I chose to do, but I love you enough to let you go and move on. And I hope that you also love me enough to let me go and move on as well, because hostility and violence is not going to happen. That's not going to benefit neither one of us. It always has to be you and us. You and I, not you and I, but, you know, us, we and us. And when you discuss that with a person assertively, again, if you're even dealing with a person that's unhealthy, they're like, wow, okay, well, maybe it wasn't. If they have any rationale, because first of all, when you met them, you're going to know something's wrong, because they're going to be talking very oddly. Some kind of sign is going to let you know that person's not emotionally stable. And it's up to you to compromise in that. So, you know, doing that meet and greet stage, that's the time to exit. Don't wait until you 3 months, 6 months, a year down the line. Now you want to exit.
Well, we got to take our last break. When we come back, I want to ask about what about that person who is so emotionally unstable that they have become a stalker, and you do fear that they are going off the deep end. Is there ever a need to ghost someone where you have to disappear because you fear that they could flip out because you've tried to end the relationship and they don't want to let you go?
Right.
So we'll talk about that when we come back. And if you are on our switchboard now and have not spoken, press 1. And if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And we will come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you or your organization need space for an event? Call the Quarry Event Center at 2423 East 75th Street in Chicago. For your parties, banquets, award ceremonies, repasses, concerts, and business seminars, available 7 days a week, now under new management. Call us at the Quarry at 773-663-2557. That's 773-663-2557.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day,
Go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Controlling, and so she was trying to leave, and he was like, no, we can work this out. No, you can't leave. And she left and stayed with friends for a while she kind of got her money together and got an apartment. She didn't tell him her new address, didn't tell him her new phone number. Literally, I guess you'd say she ghosted him because she cut off any ways he could communicate. He was asking her friends about her. She told him, don't tell him. Don't tell him where I live. And her view was that he is not accepting the fact that I have ended this relationship. And I'm afraid that he could, in his anger, because he would have these tantrums when he didn't get his way, she said she was afraid that in his anger he might even actually get violent because she's now moved on to see someone else, and she doesn't want him being a part of her life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is how she handled it when he didn't react very well to her telling him, this is over, we're not going to make it. Because they had been, had a rocky relationship over time, and there was a point where she just decided, I'm done with this. And she didn't see that keeping contact was a good thing for her because she didn't think that he would accept the fact that they have ended things, and she didn't want him popping up at her place and all of that, trying to win her back. She's like, I don't want him back. That's it. And so what she did, I guess, would be considered ghosting because she cut off all communication.
And that's ghosting for a healthy reason, to keep yourself healthy, to keep yourself safe, because that's a necessity, to do so. And even if she did tell that person why she left them and they didn't understand or didn't want to receive it, okay, it's nothing you can do at that point but protect yourself, it's hard to rationalize when a person is irrational.
Mm.
Okay, so you're talking about irrationality, things that's not rational to, be obsessed or chase or stalk or anything of that nature. That person has a serious problem with internal rejection and abandonment, and it can turn very quickly into rage, and rage can turn into criminality or homicide, and also suicide, homicide if there is, which I call murder-side.
Murder-side.
Murder-side is where suicide and homicide meets to the point where, if I can't have you, nobody will have you, and I'm just not going to live anymore.
So is that where that comes from, that person who maybe is still wounded from childhood. Abandonment? And
yes.
they just not going to let it happen again.
They're wounded from childhood trauma from abandonment and rejection.
Mm.
Yes, and never received the help that they need to heal. So it still, it then what it does is alter the mindset of the human being. They, in their mind, in their virtual mind, they believe that a person is always abandoning them and that they've been treated unfairly. They're victim-minded people. Because think about it, if you think you're a victim, you always think something's happening to you. So you get into this mindset, I got to protect myself. I got to protect myself against you. You are the enemy.
Mm.
And then you, if you get to a point where you get that suicidal thought to yourself, like, I don't want to live anymore without this person in my life, okay? So now it goes from that there to the next step, which is I want to take your life first and then my take your life and the children.
Yeah.
Everybody. I want everybody to die because I want to die.
Is there any way to detect when someone may have those kind of tendencies?
Early on signs of obsession, compulsive,
controlling,
compulsive.
So what kind of things might they tend to do?
COD. It's called COD, compulsive
obsessive
disorder. I'm talking about when it comes to people, not with things, not with tangible items.
With people. Can you give us some examples of behaviors that you might look at?
Yes, a very controlling, narcissistic mindset of control, very insecure, paranoid person. And I'm not saying people are COD or even COPD has all these issues. No, this is when you cross over into other things. When a person has compulsive obsession disorder, it could be just putting their canned goods straight in a row inside their cabinet. Okay, that's with tangible things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about with your personal life and with people. You're compulsive and you have a compulsive disorder with people. Now you want them to do what you want them to do. That's what you want to control that person.
Okay, I got a question.
You can't control that person, then you feel out of control. And when you get out of control, then you feel hurt, abandoned, rejected, you know, thrown away, or whatever it is. So many different emotions are going through your mind. You see what I'm saying? Now you're looking at them as the person that's hurting you. You are now the victim. Oh, I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me. Well, I tell you what, if you don't want me, if you don't want to live with me, then nobody's not going to live.
If I can't have you, nobody can.
Y'all heard that before many times.
Now, I got a quick question before we take the next caller. I got a friend that...
You got a lot of friends
with problems. So I'm not giving any names. But y'all know who y'all are. Okay, she got into a relationship, said, oh, wonderful man, but he insists on having passwords to all of my things, my, you know, computer, my bank account, my phone, you know. And he said, well, I mean, if you're being honest, then you should want to share these things with me. You know, it shouldn't be a problem. And she felt a little uncomfortable with that, you know, him being able to check her bank account. He said, I'm just trying to help you manage your money, checking her phone. Well, I just want to make sure you're not getting any inappropriate calls because, you know, she's got, you know, past boyfriends and all that. You know, wanting the passwords or computer, you know, well, I just want to see, you know, what kind of things you're spending time doing. So, I mean, really wanting to have control of her. And then even the dress thing, oh, well, you know, that doesn't look good. No, you know, you can't wear that short dress out. You need to wear this, you know. So
right.
All
it
of that.
Gradually. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so, you know, when she mentioned she was feeling uncomfortable, I said, well, that's your own internal guidance system telling you, that giving you a warning. This is not signs of, oh, he loves me. This is someone who's controlling and then what happens if you disagree? And, you know, they would have arguments, and she's kind of a meek person, so she would always just kind of back down in order to keep the peace.
Compromise.
Yes, compromising. So in that kind of a relationship, I mean, everybody's got free will to come and go, but, you know, aren't those signs that you are getting into a relationship with someone who's controlling and it could escalate? So how does one exit from that or just refuse to allow it and say, no, you're not doing that. No, you're crossing boundaries.
You have to stand up to them and say, excuse me, you say it nicely. You know, I don't mean any harm, but
no.
I'm wearing this today.
I chose to put this on my body today because I like
it. I'm wearing this today. Or no, you're not. Well, no. And see, I would have been slowly exiting the building.
Mm.
When they started laying down rules, when you start laying down rules and regulations, no. You're not going to just change me. I'm not going to allow you to change me. Accept me for who I am.
And it's just
that. Who I am.
Yeah.
If you can't accept me for who I am,
then we don't belong
there's nothing
together.
I can do. I accept you for who you are.
Mm.
And, I mean, you have to tell them straight up, you know. I don't care what it comes like. Because, see, a lot of people get caught up in the money.
Mm.
They get caught up in the money. And then
you
when they get caught
bills.
Up in the money.
Yeah.
Yes, when they get caught up in the money, they find themselves compromising to an unhealthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're too busy gold digging.
Mm.
And you didn't realize that this gold digging is going to cost you. Because you're going to get in touch with, you're going to get in touch with these spontaneous people. People are spontaneous most of the time when they love bombing.
Mm.
When they love bomb you from the dough, oh, you're beautiful. Oh, I love you. I think you're great. Oh, let me give, let me go ahead and give you, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do the everything I want to do. Okay,
yeah.
All right, let's back up. Because, see, even if you don't tell them you're backing up, you back up and you better look real good and say to yourself, all right, I see that I'm in this relationship, this person here. Okay. And just watch how they want you to move in your life, how they want you to think. What they want you to wear. Early on, most spontaneous people like this are narcissists.
Mm.
And you won't see them coming because they're used to this. They're used to manipulating. They're used to emotionally controlling the other party.
Yeah. Well, you know, my female friend who's in this situation, you know,
well, she
didn't have a father in her life. So she didn't... She didn't know what it felt like for a healthy male-female relationship. Her father was gone from their life. Parents divorced early. And so here this man is, oh, I'm going to take care of you. He was filling that void, filling that need, you know, and she didn't have a sense of what is normal in terms of a male who's saying, oh, I'm going to take care of you, because she didn't have that. But she didn't see that it was crossing boundaries.
Well, It is like this. She can either do one of two things. She can make a decision and exit with decency. Let them know I can be your friend, but I cannot be in a relationship with you right now. I don't think we know each other well enough.
Yeah.
You know, don't say I don't need you, don't want you, don't want to have nothing to do with you. No, because you don't know who you're talking to.
Right. So you have to use the right words, even in ending a relationship.
Out of decency.
Yeah.
For another human being. You don't know if that person's been hurt before more than one time. And hurting for them is like anybody who exits out their life without their permission is hurting them.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we ghost people, we need to know and be careful how we exit.
How you exit. Well, we've got a caller, 773-221, opening your mic. Give us your name, where you're calling from.
OCD is the obsessive compulsive disorder
Dr. Debbie Green and Sister Naima Latif. Did you receive my email yesterday?
I haven't.
Herbs
in
Horto about the tent cities in the pandemic garden.
I did see that. I haven't had a chance to review it thoroughly, but we'll talk about that further.
Yeah. If there should be any health mandate, it should be Dianetics auditing sessions recorded randomly and as frequently as needed. That way we can correct situations that people are going through which could have otherwise evolved into a homicide or suicide or some tragic event.
So are you suggesting that would assist people with obsessive compulsive disorder, people who have the potential to become? Are you saying that would help people who have the potential of becoming violent if they?
I'm saying that a preventative measure for individuals who, for whatever reason, are predisposed to harm themselves or other people. A lot of times those things can be caught in the course of these Dianetic auditing sessions. And that's for first responders, that's for the civilian population, that's for everyone. And if there's ever to be any health mandate, that should be the requirement that everyone have a Dianetics auditing session recorded for reference, and I've proposed that for the past many months.
I thank you for your email, and I'll give you a call later. We'll talk further about that. You know, one of the things, I guess, as Andrew brings up, of, you know, being able to determine if someone has a tendency for violence, if they're a stalker, if they're clingy, if they're someone who could either become suicidal or homicidal at the end of a relationship because of their unhealed wounds, that is difficult to detect because sometimes we misread the things that they do is, oh, they love me, you know, like when someone is extreme, maybe like you mentioned with gift giving, they're, you know, willing to overdo, you know, pay your bills, offering, oh, I can pay your rent, or I can pay your car note, or I can, you know, really big things. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, and I mean, we had a couple of gentlemen earlier that said, well, look, I can just help people, there's no strings attached, and there are people who do that. But then you have some people, though, that they're trying to buy love. And if they've paid enough money for you, they feel like they've bought you, and they feel like you have no right to leave. Or they feel like, oh, you used me. But they kind of, they offered, and you didn't necessarily solicit, they offered to do these great things for you, trying to woo you, and maybe trying to buy love, and then when you didn't feel for them what they wanted you to feel for them, they're ready to flip out. So how can you tell when someone is that kind of a personality where you really, even if you need, you may want to just tell them no, because what they're trying to buy from you, really, you don't want to sell them, which is yourself. You know, how can you tell when someone is more than what you really want to get involved with, even though it might look like love and generosity? Is there a way to tell?
Well, yeah, it's the demeanor of that person. People have certain demeanors. Demeanors is how that person carries themselves, is how they talk to you with tone, pitch, volume. You know it early on, like in the first, I would say, 2 months of the relationship, it'll come out some type of way. It'll come out. Because, again, they'll always be adjusting you. You're always they're always trying to adjust you, adjust what you wear, adjust how you think, just, you know, to what they want. It's what they want. Now, you have some people that have really big hearts out there to do big things for people, and hats off to those people like, hey, you know, I see that you're a single mother. Let me help you buy this car, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And not look for nothing every time,
mm-hmm.
you know? Let me help you pay your rent. I see that you're going through, not look for nothing in return. Like the gentleman said, no, I'm not going to give you a number. I just wanted to do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then you have some people that are in your life for reasons and seasons,
mm-hmm.
you know, that may be longevity of doing these things, longevity, which is a couple of months or whatever, and they're platonic, but they like you and they really respect you, and, you know, and you're very close and y'all grown to be close over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have other people doing this for another agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you, they're always adjusting you.
Yeah.
They're always adjusting. You were constantly like, oh, my God, as soon as you turn around, oh, no, I don't think you need to do that. Oh, you need to do this. You know? Mm. And then when you don't want to, what do you mean you don't want to? You know?
Yeah.
You know, when you think it's like, well, I think you need to do this. You know? Why don't you want to do it? And they get upset when you don't want to do it. And then you don't want to be what they want you to be. And to you, like you say, but it's like you say, if that person is passive, that this person is in their life, if they're passive, then what's going to happen is you're not going to do it. You'll find yourself compromising.
Mm. Well, I know we're going to be leaving in a few minutes, but I got one last question. Do people tend to use anger as a means of control, especially if the one partner is a little more meek and the other one is more aggressive? Does anger become a means of control, and is that a sign that maybe a relationship is unhealthy? The reason why someone may ghost someone who has that anger because they fear confrontation, so it's like, I'll just leave, I'll just disappear. How does anger play a role in the decision to ghost someone?
Right. So if you're living with someone that's always irritated and agitated and never happy, oh my goodness, and there is people out there, all right, always complaining about something's wrong, you're not doing something wrong, something's constantly, okay, well, that person apparently has an issue because no one is always that way. Now, if there's a situation where one doesn't agree with another person, okay, you may have a spat, but that thing is not going to continue on to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. No, no, that's not. It's a very unhealthy relationship, very stressful relationship, and one should not be in a relationship like that. So if that person has this embedded anger inside of them, that's from insecurities and paranoias of constantly being hurt by other people.
Mm.
Okay? So what they do, they spew that out, because anger is not one thing. It's either going to do one or two things. It's either going to spew out in some type of way, some kind of action or behavior, or it's going to cause a person to shut down inside. Either way, it's dangerous.
Mm.
It's dangerous when it's overworked.
Mm.
When it's overworked, it's dangerous. So please be mindful, again, of your relationships. If they're not healthy, you'll know they're not healthy because you're going to feel uncomfortable. Stop compromising. Stop compromising. Don't stay in uncomfortable relationships that are causing you stress, mental pressure, which is causing you to be sick in your body. Ghosting is real. For those who leave out of people's lives with no explanation, they should not do that. They should always say something to that person as they exit. Write a letter, email, chat. I don't care how you do it. But just be mindful of who you're getting involved with before you ghost them.
Because
there may be a detrimental effect afterwards. Wow. Well, all right. We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my